"What does a potato want a disguise for?" he said. They'd reached the alley alongside the university that had been known informally as Scholar's Entry for so many centuries that this was now on a nameplate at one end. A couple of student wizards went past. The unofficial entrance to the university has always been known only to students. What most students failed to remember was that the senior members of the faculty had also been students once, and also liked to get out and about after the official shutting of the gates. This naturally led to a certain amount of embarrassment and diplomacy on dark evenings. Carrot and Angua waited patiently as a few more students climbed over, followed by the dean. "Good evening, sir," said Carrot politely.
"Good evening to you, Spuddy," said the dean, and ambled off into the night.
"You see?"
"Ah, but he didn't call me Carrot," said Carrot. "The principle is sound."
They dropped down onto the lawns of academia and headed for the library.
"It'll be shut," said Angua.
"Remember, we have a man on the inside," said Carrot, and knocked.
The door opened a little way.
"Ooh!"
Carrot raised his horrible little round hat.
"Good evening, sir. I wonder if we could come in. It's watch business."
"Ooh? Ooh? Ooh? Ooh?
What did he say?" said Angua.
"If you must know, he said, 'My goodness me, a walking potato,'" said Carrot.
The librarian wrinkled his nose at Angua. He did not like the smell of werewolves. But he beckoned them inside and then left them waiting while he knuckled back to his desk and rummaged in a drawer. He produced a watch special constable's badge on a string, which he hung around the general area where his neck should have been, and then stood as much to attention as an orangutan can, which is not a great deal. The central ape gets the idea, but outlying areas are slow to catch on.
"Ooh, ooh, ooh."
"Was that 'How may I be of assistance, Captain Tuba?'" said Angua.
"We need to have a look on the fifth floor overlooking the square," said Carrot, a shade coldly.
"Ook, ook, ook."
"He says that's just old storerooms," said Carrot.
"And that last ook," said Angua.
"Mr. Horrible Hat," said Carrot.
"Still, he hasn't worked out who you are, eh?" said Angua. The fifth floor was a corridor of airless rooms, smelling sadly of old unwanted books. They were stacked not on shelves, but on wide racks, bundled up with string. A lot of them were battered and missing their covers. Judging by what remained, though, they were old textbooks that not even the most ardent bibliophile could treasure. Carrot picked up a torn copy of Waddley's Occult Primer. Several loose pages fell out. Angua picked one up.
"Chapter 15, Elementary Necromancy," she read aloud. "Lesson 1, Correct Use of Shovel." She put it down again and sniffed the air. The presence of the librarian filled the nasal room like an elephant in a matchbox, but...
"Someone else has been in here," she said, "in the last couple of days. Could you leave us, sir? When it comes to odours, you're a bit, forthright."
"Ook."
The librarian nodded at Carrot, shrugged at Angua, and ambled out.
"Don't move," said Angua. "Stay right where you are, Carrot. Don't disturb the air."
She inched forward carefully. Her ears told her the librarian was down the corridor because she could hear the floorboards creaking, but her nose told her that he was still here. He was a little fuzzy, but...
"I'm going to have to change," she said. "I can't get a proper picture this way. It's too strange."
Carrot obediently shut his eyes. She'd forbidden him to watch her en route from a human to a wolf because of the unpleasant nature of the shapes in between. Back in Überwald, people went from one shape to the other as naturally as ordinary humans would put on a different coat, but even there it was considered polite to do it behind a bush. When he reopened them, Angua was slinking forward, her whole being concentrated in her nose. The olfactory presence of the librarian was a complex shape, a mere purple blur where he had been moving, but almost a solid figure where he'd been standing still. Hands, face, lips. They'd be just the centre of an expanding cloud in a few hours' time, but now she could still smell them out. There must be only the tiniest air currents in here. There weren't even any flies buzzing in the dead air to cause a ripple of disturbance. She edged nearer to the window. Vision was a mere shadowy presence, providing a charcoal sketch of a room over which the scents painted their glorious colours. By the window, yes. A man had stood there, and by the scent of it, he hadn't moved for some time. The smell wavered in the air on the edge of her nasal skill.